Hello, everyone. So I have a few announcements and a few things I want to do this morning, and then I'm going to get to some of the most important questions that are being asked right now inside of Ask Coaches, on coaching calls, things that you guys are Facebook posting about. So we're going to do that this morning after I do a couple of little things. I want to, first of all, say that our No BS book study, The Big Leap, is going on. It's going to be wrapping up at the end of the month, and then we're going to start our next book called The Body is Not an Apology. So if you are going to want to join our book study on that, you'll need to go ahead and get your book ordered. If you go to pnptribe.com and you go to community and you go to the book study area, I think it's underneath where all the Facebook subgroups are. We have information about the book study inside that Facebook group and everything. So we're wrapping up The Big Leap for this month. Coach Yesenia's been leading it. It's really good. It's like taking us through, a lot of you are self-development hoes, kind of like me. And so we wanted to be able to offer a book study for you guys because you've been asking for it for a long time. So don't forget that next month we will start The Body is Not an Apology, along with, we are re-releasing a brand new self-love course. So I took the lessons from our self-love camp way back in October of last year, and I pulled out the lessons, but not the coaching. And we have put together a 2021 version of self-love. So as a membership, we're going to do it together. Self-love is better done together. So you will see next month, a lot of the calls, a lot of the coaching, a lot of the things are all going to deal with changing the relationship you have with yourself. Now, some of you need all the self-love you can get. Some of you, you have come leaps and bounds, and it's just time to level up and up your game in self-love. So it does not really matter where you're at. I promise all of you, you can never work on your self-talk enough, ever. And the more you're willing to do it over and over again, I promise you that what ends up happening is you start getting to a level of appreciating yourself, and you start getting to a level of thinking about yourself that you never thought you could. So I love doing self-love. We wanted to do it the month of February just because it's, you know, Valentine's Day. So we wanted to make it a little themey for you guys, but we're trying to structure everything next month around the idea of loving yourself, falling in love with yourself, giving you the tools, giving you the calls, and giving you books that help explain, especially in The Body is Not an Apology. She's super motivational, but she also digs into where a lot of our body shame, a lot of our body conditioning comes from, why there is a very unachievable, let's just say, status that comes along with, if you look like this. She talks about, one of the things that stood out for me more than anything in the book was, she was talking about how only 5% of the women in the entire world look like what most people think would be the ideal body. 5%. And 95% of us are trying to kill ourselves to look like something that our body could never look like, no matter what. And so what is the answer? To hate ourselves? This is what the societal norm has taught us. Hate yourself and keep trying to work on yourself to try to match that. Where it's like, what if we just start deciding how we want to look? Like, nobody's teaching us all of that. Nobody's teaching us how to break free of that and start enjoying your life. Well, I am. But that's what we want to start doing, is redefining the standards. And not so that everybody can have a new standard to look like, but the new standard needs to be like, I love and value myself. I'm more than just my body. Like, I can love my body, but I can also love all these other things about me too. I can not like a few things without having, like, this is what I think most of us do when it comes to the body, is we don't like something about our body. And so we like ignore, negate, don't focus on, or refuse to even think about anything that's right about us because we're always so fixated on what's wrong. And you miss out on so much of your life doing that.
on, you miss out on so much of your ability to appreciate yourself, the ability to feel good about yourself, the ability to succeed for yourself, the ability to pat yourself on the back for shit you do, shit you think, how you show up in the world. Parts of you that aren't like, that you love the way it looks. And some of us are even afraid. Now this is work that I have done. For a long time, I was afraid to let go of how I wanted to look for fear that I would just not care. I had to work through that. We're going to be talking a lot about that next month. I also had to work through letting go of an image that I wanted in exchange for falling in love with the version that I am. Like, I had to like convince myself it was okay. And that takes time and unwinding. But the good news is we're going to work on it all next month. So we're doing it for two ways. The body is not an apology. Please, 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 if you want to be in the book study, I want you in the Facebook group over there where the book studies are happening. I do not want you hanging out over here and wondering why nobody's talking about things. In the main group, it's not where we're doing the book study. We're doing the book study in the book study group. Coach Yesenia's over there. They're talking about these topics. They're posting what they're learning. Coach Yesenia's giving you like workbooks and like all kinds of stuff to be able to use in order to discuss the book, talk about the book, find ahas, and apply it to your life. All right, now that we have a bunch of us here, I want everybody to do this. I think this is really important. One of the things I keep getting asked is like, I'm listening to all things, Corinne. I'm doing your shit. I even know my why. Like, it's not working. Just say. Guys, listening to all the things is not doing the work. Watching courses, reading, playing me in your ear all day long, that is not doing the work. So I want everybody right now, I want you to think about one thing that I teach, just one thing, a basic. And I want you to pick one thing, and guess what you're going to do today? Your ass is going to commit right now that you're going to do that thing. Because here's one thing I know. Inside, no BS, we have a creed. And one of the creeds states, I will not fuck around in the Facebook group if I have not made my 24-hour plan. If you are on this call right now, get off. Go make a plan. And then you are welcome to come back to the Q&A call. If you are listening to this in the podcast player on a replay and thou have not made their 24-hour plan, get the fuck off, push pause, make a 24-hour plan, and then within 2 minutes, you can start listening again. Y'all are way overthinking how hard this is. Way overthinking it. Like, I better see viewers go down. I swear to God. If there's viewers in here that don't have a 24-hour plan, this is what's, thank you. Five of you have dropped off. I appreciate all of you that had gotten off Facebook to listen to me yell at y'all for an hour. It doesn't pay for you to listen to me yell at you. It doesn't pay to listen to me motivate, drop wisdom bombs, give direction and stuff. If you're not doing the stuff I tell you to do. And y'all don't even have to do all the things. It's a matter of every single day. Wake up and ask yourself, what's one thing I'm going to do today to prove to myself that I can lose my weight? And this is what we all got to start with. Like, don't come crying to me if you don't believe you can't lose weight. Here's how you do it. You stop whining that you don't believe it yet, and you prove to yourself that you can by saying, you know what, it's going to be fucking difficult today. I'm going to be uncomfortable. Because you know what today I'm going to do? I'm actually going to make that damn 24-hour plan Grin's always bitching about. I'm just going to make it. And I'm going to prove to myself that when I don't believe in it, when I think I can't lose weight, when I think it's going to be hard, when I'm terrified that like I'm not going to be able to stick to it, I'm going to prove to myself today that I can still write a plan. That's the first thing I'm going to learn how to do. I'm not going to be able to follow a plan until I get over my bullshit about making plans. So step one is prove to myself that I can take some action even with my fears and my doubts and my insecurities, trying to come along for the ride. Fears, doubts, and insecurities don't go away by doing what they tell you to do, which is don't do. That's not how they don't go away, because every time you want to lose weight, you bring all of them to the surface. And if you think you're probably going to want to lose weight for, this is the problem, is that most of you will be like, I get scared I can't lose weight, and I get scared it won't work, and I get confused about what should go on there. I get all these things. So in order to not feel scared and confused and all these other things, I just won't make the plan. That doesn't work. And here's why. Because if you really want to lose weight, ultimately to work, you're going to have to let go of the desire to even want to get your goals. At some point, you're going to have to be that person that's like, I give up. I'm just done. It's a no. I'm never going to think about it again. But if you know that you've been sitting around for 30 years wanting to lose weight and it's never gone away, no matter how many times you've quit, guess what? You not doing shit's not working. That part's not working. The fear, the doubt, and the insecurity will be coming up every single time you want it. So let's just want it. Let's just realize that those feelings and stuff are sentences that go on in my head. I don't have to be perfect today, but I do need to write down food. I have got to prove to myself that for 60 days, I can write down food whether I follow it or not. I stand way better a chance at getting better at following a plan if I got 60 tries at it versus me sitting here on the sidelines not doing fuck with it. And guess what? For every one of you that's going to make 12 plans and not follow them and then quit, do not do that to yourself. 60. Give yourself 60 tries. You're way more likely to hit the target if you're shooting at it 60 times versus just 3. It'd be like going to the gun range. See, if y'all are wondering why I'm talking guns, we've been watching Queen of the South, which is all about drug cartels. And I'm determined to learn how to shoot a gun after this. I'm just like, man, that bitch can shoot. I want to be someone. I don't know why, but I want to be someone that could fire a gun if I needed to be. Right now, I'd be someone that would probably get smacked in the face with a kickback. So anyway, let's say we're all at the gun range. We're going to shoot at targets. It'd be like with your 24-hour plan going up into the gun range and after 3 fires being pissed that you ain't got the bullseye. Now, if you sat there and you tried 60 times, you're probably at least going to be hitting the target some. That's what we want to do. I tell you all the time, it ain't about perfection. It's about consistency. Are you going to consistently keep making plans? Or are you going to consistently shoot for perfect and quit? Most of y'all, that's the consistency wheel that you're on, and let's get off. Okay, so everybody pick something that they're going to do today. I want you to pick the one thing you're going to do. I want you to tell yourself, I am deserving of my weight loss as much as any other person in this world. I am capable of my weight loss because I have seen other no BS women just like me. And if I have not seen them, I'm going to ask today, who is like me that has lost weight? I want to see it's possible. I have had thousands of success stories in this group. There's not a single one of us that doesn't have somebody just like us or worse off than us that has lost her weight and that is very willing to say, I am like you. I did it. Let me help you. That is why you're here. This is why we have a no BS community. It is so that you get to look up and ask, not to look down on yourself and hide. This is not what I teach here. So you're going to pick one thing and you're going to tell yourself, I'm deserving of my weight loss today, just like anybody else. And here's the one thing I can do today to prove to myself that I can do it. I am worthy of my weight loss today, just like anyone else. And here's the one thing I'm going to do today to make it happen. I am just as competent as anybody else, even in the moments I don't believe. And here's the one thing I'm going to do today. It's very important that you guys start your days with thinking about something positive about your ability to do it. Just start your day with it. Don't start your day with dread. Start your day with convincing yourself this can happen. Most of you start your day convincing yourself you're a shit show and that your day is going to suck. Let's undo that. I want you to convince yourself that you're worthy, you're deserving, you're capable, you're willing, you're going to do it. And then I want you to tell yourself every single day, like one thing you're going to do today. And then when it's done, over-celebrate it. I mean, guys, there ain't none of us in here celebrate near enough the small wins. I want you to over-celebrate. I want you to convince yourself, yeah, I got it done. This is amazing. And I did it. And I did it for me because I'm learning how to take care of myself. I'm learning how to put into action every single day something. And today I got my something done. So start off with a small something and let that shit add up. All right, so let me tell you what else we're doing. So I talked about the book study, gave you some motivation. Mindful Drink is still going on for the rest of the month. That program will stay. So guys, if you didn't take it, and let's say it's 3 or 4 months from now and you want to work on your drinking before we roll up into the summer, it will always be there for you. Please remember, none of our content ever goes away for you guys. The only time we ever take content away is when we've replaced it with an updated version. My call this Saturday that I do for you guys is going to be focused on stopping at enough. So we are going to just talk all about and coach around the concept of being able to stop at enough. I know that's one of the harder ones for you guys. So I want to make sure that we have all the coaching on Saturday all about that. So if you want coaching on it, stopping at enough will be things like I'm afraid to waste food. I don't like leaving food behind. I have a hard time finding my body signals. I get caught up in, I just start eating and I forget to even check in. We're going to talk about all those things. So bring all your questions and bring your coaching to that call. And we will talk about that on Saturday. Also, we want to make sure, the other thing that I want to let you guys know is that we are doing something new on Friday morning. So I used to always do a public Facebook Live on Wednesday mornings at 8:30 for a long time, and we moved it to your 9 o'clock Q&A. So we took the public live away from the public, and we decided to put your Q&A here. There is a new app called Clubhouse. Not everybody can have it. So it's on iOS, Apple only. It's also invite only. I am on there. So I want to tell you guys briefly about this so that you're not feeling like, oh my God, there's like Corinne somewhere that I can't have. And, you know, this is like the end of my weight loss journey. I'm going to be starting a 7:30 a.m. mindset call at 7:30 a.m. on Fridays just for the next few weeks to test how it goes. It will be public. And so it's going to be all about like getting your weekend shit together and stuff like that. If you're on Clubhouse, I invite you to join me on Clubhouse. Clubhouse is an audio only app. So you can't see me, but you can hear me. And you will be in a room with your little avatar. I will be like at the top, like I'm on a stage, just like I am now on screen. Imagine that's the stage. The comments in Facebook are where you are, and you're always on mute. And so, like, imagine that you can't talk to anybody in Clubhouse. So there's no chat that goes on. And I talk, and then if I want to talk to people, I can bring them up on stage with me, and then we take turns talking. So I will be doing that at 7:30 for public every Friday morning. The good news is I have figured out how to also do it in here. So for all of you who do not have Clubhouse, what I didn't want, and because there's no archives, there's no recording it, they don't offer any of that. It's all lifetime. Once it's happened, it's just gone. That's it. So no chats, no recordings. So I was thinking about how would I share this with you guys, because I don't want you guys to miss out on something. So at 7:30 a.m. on the next few Fridays, you guys will be getting a bonus call where I will be in Clubhouse talking to people in Clubhouse. If you're a member, you just come to Clubhouse, and that would be your way. If you want to ask a live question, you can ask a live question. Otherwise, I will be streaming it into Facebook just like we're doing today using the same software, and I will be talking, but I will be interacting with the Clubhouse people. So we're going to be testing this. This is part of just going back to making sure, like with my public podcast, making sure that people who don't know anything about No BS Women and what we stand for in our program, they get an opportunity to kind of start feeling like there's got to be a different way, to be able to see there's something refreshing out there that's not full of restriction, deprivation, and bullshit tactics. So I'm going to make sure you guys don't miss out on it. And we will also put it into your private podcast player. So I just wanted to make sure that all of you got taken care of. You're always my number one priority. And if you are in Clubhouse, if you're a No BS Woman, you can feel free to ask a question. There'll be some public people that will get questions asked too, but I won't be teaching anything there that the public doesn't just get. So it's not like I'm going to be doing deep cuts over there or, real deep coaching and stuff. But if you enjoy my shit, I know you will enjoy this too. Okay. So there are bunches of different Clubhouse ones. Guys, I don't know. Somebody in there will get us a link to it. But if you are, somebody put the link to the Clubhouse app in the comments, please. And then anybody who's up on it and smart, just talk about it in the comments. I've only been on 10 days. So for y'all to ask me any questions about it, as if I'm going to be an expert, it's a no. It's a brand new app. It's only been around a hot second. So I just want to try it out. It's just a good way to talk to people about what's going on in weight loss. And, eventually, I've been into some of the, let me just tell you, the people who are on Clubhouse right now talking health and fitness, Cream Crabtree needs to be there. All of us need to be there. I need more people hearing from my women what it is to truly lose weight the way you want to live your life, because it is full of douchebag tactics. I can't hardly even be in a room. I like to listen to just see what kind of shit's getting talked about. And it almost breaks my heart to listen in on them. I just want to say, unmute me. Of course they can't, but still, if I could hijack those rooms, I would in a heartbeat. So we're just going to start our own fucking room. How about that? And then we will be the biggest one on Clubhouse, and we will next time, y'all, in a few years, I will be the Oprah of weight loss. All right. That's it. All right. Let's do this. Question number one, my why doesn't stop me at the fridge from grab-assing and overeating. What am I doing wrong? You're not doing anything wrong. Your why's job is not to stop you. Your job is to notice those patterns of when you grab-ass. That's why discovery worksheets are very helpful. The more you write discovery worksheets, what happens is your brain starts cataloging your common patterns, your thoughts, your feelings and such. And the more you catalog them on paper, when you do all that paper thinking with a discovery worksheet, what happens is that you activate what's called the reticular activation system of your brain. So your brain has this scanner that goes all day long. And what it does is it's got two things it's designed to do. It knows what's important and what's not. And then all day long, it filters the non-important from the important. So let's all pretend we've been listening to music all of our lives and we have certain songs we love. Well, every time, if Don't Stop Believing comes on, almost every No BS Woman is like, Don't Stop Believing, it's the same song, and we get excited. Somebody else in the world has no emotional attachment to it, Maybe they've never even heard of it. Right? Well, here's what happens. They become an obese woman. They hear it at camp. Just like a lot of you know that I Lived is the big song that we use to close out camp. It's all about the future self. A lot of you have never heard it before. You go out into the real world, guess what happens? After you've heard it, after you've like had an emotional connection to it, your brain starts filtering out other bullshit songs. And the first time My Life comes on, you're like, oh my God, that song, I heard it camp. Like, your brain now knows how to filter out other music. Pay attention to that one. The same thing happens with the discovery worksheets. The more you do them and the more you challenge yourself to find like every little pattern, every little thought, every little feeling, every little anything, where you are standing. From that point forward, your brain starts trying to filter out other stuff and it starts noticing those things. It starts putting grab-assing on your radar. It starts putting your like your eating and stuff all on the radar. You start noticing that you're catching yourself when you're doing it rather than catching yourself after the fact. When you catch yourself after the fact, it's because your brain filtered out, like your excuses and stuff is, well, they're not important to listen to. She didn't care about that stuff. That just gets her cookies. We don't have to pay attention to that. Now what you want to do is you want to turn the volume up. Your why, though, is its job is to be thought about like first thing in the morning. So when you guys are making your 24-hour plan, you want to be like remembering your whys. Like when you say, I'm going to eat, let's say for breakfast, you're going to have a Jimmy Dean sausage biscuit. You need to write and think about why your whys for weight loss. Because when you're writing, it'll either match up to your whys or be like, well, why am I really planning the Jimmy Dean if I want to lose weight? And you might say, because I want to lose weight the way I want to live the rest of my life. And I know today I can commit to the Jimmy Dean sausage biscuit. We're locked and loaded. It's much easier to eat the Jimmy Dean and nothing else. So you want to be tying your whys. You want to be writing them down in the mornings. You want to be journaling about your whys, so that you start feeling really connected to the important things. When you're making your 24-hour plans, you want to be thinking about, all right, so the foods I plan today, what whys do they tie to? Write all that down. Because the why's job is not to give you a dead stop when you are getting ready to grab ass. The why's job is to help you feel more connected to the entire process you're going to do. And then when you're getting ready to break your plan, when you've done plans and you've done discovery worksheets and you've raised the awareness around everything, then when it's time to grab ass, everything like starts getting real like slower. It's almost like you see yourself now in that moment right before you eat. And you think, do I want to do this or not? I know right now I have a big urge. I know I'm telling myself I really want it. I remember a few days ago, I was in this same position. I was standing in the fridge. I was getting ready to get the ice cream out. And I really want it. I've had a bad day. I can see why I want it so bad right now. Because I've seen myself already do that. And you just tell yourself, and in this moment, I get to decide, am I going to have it or am I not? The second way that you can interject is in that moment, your why just gives you the reminder of why you would choose no. Because what most of us do in that moment is we only listen to why we would choose yes to the urge. And we just think about all the reasons why we want it. We think about all the reasons why we wish we didn't have an urge. And we think about all the things that we fucked up for the day. And we haven't spent any time even considering why we might want to say no. The positive outcomes of not saying no. Why it's important to us. And the more you get skilled at being able to have both conversations, to be able to give yourself just a little bit of pause to entertain the version of me that does want this, the version of me that, you know, has the thinking, that feels this way, and you are very compassionate with her about like, I get you, I understand it. And yes, I would bet you the ice cream would taste amazing. But I also have this other version of me and they get to start dialoguing. So that's really how you use the why. And like, it's more of a process than what I think most of you do. I think what most of you do is you do my workshops. You come up with some whys. You're like, all right, I feel good. I got a why. This is going to be amazing. I've got like 10 of them. I got some sticky notes. And we really don't use them any more than that. Weight loss is a mental game. And it is always going to be dependent upon how much investment in your mental game are you going to make. Are you going to start noticing when you're not thinking very good thoughts about yourself and thinking something else too? Are you going to start your day with writing down a few things that are important to you today? Your whys. Are you going to spend that time? Are you going to give yourself that time? Are you going to start incorporating that into your day? Or are you not? I've always believed that weight loss will be like, I know that what all you want, all of you just like, I just want to lose the weight. No, you don't. You want to lose the weight because you think you're going to be thinking and feeling a different way as a thin version of you. The thin version of you doesn't just get a brand new brain when she hits that her goal weight. She gets the brain that she crafted and that she put on repeat all the way down the scale. So if the version of you is going to be happy and satisfied and content with her life, the version of you who's losing weight has to figure out ways to make sure that what she does makes her happy today. She starts incorporating ways to be satisfied with her life, incorporate the thinking. She has to train all those thought patterns. Otherwise, you lose weight and you're still valuing others' opinions about your body, no matter what size it is, over your own. You know, it never fails when we lose our weight. Some jackass now thinks we're too thin. It's like, well, before you thought I was too fat. And now we got another host of people like, oh my God, you're too thin. Well, if you don't learn how to value your opinion more, what ends up happening is I've been listening to everyone telling me I'm too fat, and now I'm going to start listening to everybody who's telling me I'm too thin. And all I'm going to be focused on is, why can't everybody just tell me what I need to hear while never teaching yourself what you need to hear and what your standard is and what you honor for yourself? I don't want to do the work, but I want to lose weight. Okay. The biggest problem is with this one is always, it's not that you don't want to do the work. It's what you think the work entails. For most of you, the work has a lot of dread talk behind it. It's going to take me a long time to make plans. I'm not going to be able to eat the things I want. I'm probably going to do all this stuff and not lose weight. Like if what you think about the work sucks, no, you're not going to want to do it. You have to break it down into small, very small steps, and you have to think differently about them. You cannot try to do the work. You're never going to want something that you have thrown skunk all over. But y'all take the four basics and plan it, have a skunk come spray it, and then wonder why you ain't wanting to walk over there every day and take a big whiff. If you think about it shitty, if you think you have to do it, if you have a lot of, can't have this food, like it's a rewiring of how you think. So the easiest fix for this one is if you don't want to do the work, but you keep wanting to lose weight, we got two options. Quit wanting to lose weight. There's the fastest way. Just be like, done. Never going to want to lose weight again. Then you can just keep doing what you're doing. You get to keep feeling like you're feeling and thinking like you're thinking all the time. Nothing has to change. But that's the problem. Most of you, it's not that you want to lose weight. You don't want your shitty thinking anymore. You don't like your thinking. You're like, I'm tired of going through my day stressed. I'm tired of going through my day overwhelmed. I'm tired of going through my day anxious, feeling hopeless. Always remember, how you feel has nothing to do with what's going on in your world. How you feel is about your outlook, your judgments, and your perceptions of you, the things in your life, the world, and the things said to you, your perception, what goes on between your ears, is what drives your feelings. So put all of you who have this problem, get you a piece of paper. This one's already got writing all over it, but at the top, I want you to write the work. Then I just want you to answer the question. What do I think it means to do the work? And I mean, I want you to list at least 20 things you think it means. It means I have to give up my favorite foods. It means I have to journal every single day. You're going to have a lot of stuff on there. And there will not be 1 ounce of truth. There'll be a lot of things that feel true, or that you've heard and interpreted as true, but they will all be your thoughts that are stopping you if you're not implementing them. So let's say a lot of you have the thought, the work means making a 24-hour plan every single day. And it'll say, this is what it'll say. I have to make a 24-hour plan every day. It's not true. I choose to is a better way to say it. I could see the benefit of a 24-hour plan every single day, and I'm willing to try is also true. This week, I'll make 5, and next week, I'll add 1 more. That also could be true. You will need to challenge all of the things that you think the work is, unless you are giddy about doing it. If there is resistance or dread, you need to challenge your thinking around it. You need to start talking about the things that you're going to do for your weight loss with easy language, minimum language. Minimum language is simply, you know what? I'm kind of scared of this 24-hour plan, and that's okay. I think what I'll do is I'll start this week with Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The rest of the week, I don't have to unless I just want to. That'll be the bonus. But I'll do the first 3 days just to prove to myself that I know that I can make a 24-hour plan. And then I'll see what happens, and I'll take it to Ask Coaches or a coaching call and get some advice. That's way easier than what you guys do, which is, I have to make a 24-hour plan every single day. And then that triggers you to start thinking, and then I'll never get to eat, and I won't be able to eat what I like. I know Corinne says we can, but I'm just not that person. She says there's no unicorns. She hasn't seen my horn yet. And like, you'll go into this spiral, and you won't do anything. And then you're wondering, like, you're just, it's like, sitting around in frustration that you want something so bad, but you're getting nowhere to get it. So that's what I would do with that. I've listened to all the classes and No BS Coaching. I've been doing the 4 basics, not perfectly. I don't care. All I want you to do is practice your consistency, y'all. Be consistent to showing up for it. And then let's just collect all the things that aren't working so that we can, one at a time, fix them. If you guys would just stay consistent for 60 days, and even if you screwed something up every day, you'd have the 60 things you need to work on for the next year. And every week you correct one of them. And in 1 year, you'd have 60 things fixed and worked on and solved. Y'all are so close to weight loss success, it's not even funny. And y'all are like, well, that's a whole year. It's like, so? Do you want to get there or not? I wouldn't be thinking about how long it takes. And I'll tell you, somebody that's working on one thing a week and solving it, guess what they're feeling? Proud, good, and confident. After about 3 or 4 weeks, they're not thinking about how long it's going to take anymore. They're too wrapped up in momentum, motivation, confidence, and pride. They're no longer dwelling on how long it takes. Think about this. Someone who loses their weight isn't dwelling on how long it takes. For all of you, like when I talk about future self, you're like, just if in 60 days, if I could just have lost 8 pounds, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, guess what? In 60 days, that version of you isn't thinking she can't get started. She's not thinking it's going to be hard. She's no longer thinking that there's too much, like she's dreading the work. You know what she's doing? She's waking up every day doing something and thinking this works. So like if in 60 days you want to feel like it's working, then today you've got to do one thing and tell yourself, this is what will work. If I do something every single day, it will compound. Rather than sitting around thinking, oh my God, it's going to take forever. It's going to feel so slow. How long is weight loss going to take? The version of you that's in momentum, at some point stop thinking that so that she could string together a few days and get her ass going in the right direction. So this person says, my thought continuously comes back to the notion that I really do need to sacrifice if I want to lose weight and that I can't continue to plan all the things I enjoy and lose weight. Number one, you haven't even proven yet that that's even true. Like this person's losing weight and they're just upset that their mind keeps going to, I'm going to have to really sacrifice. I would just tell myself, that's old thinking. Right now I'm losing weight and I'm not like, that's just not even true. Like sometimes you just have to prove to yourself, like, look, bitch, you lost weight this week. That's obviously not true. So you just like have to dead stop some thoughts, y'all. Some of it's just neurological junk and garbage. The other one here is my thought continuously comes back to the notion that I need to sacrifice if I want to lose weight. Rather than I'm eating the foods I like right now and that might change one day. And I don't mean change to sacrifice. I want y'all to think a little bit bigger. When I first started, I was eating ice cream, like a half a gallon, every single night, still eating my drive-thrus and all that kind of stuff. As I lost weight and I started feeling better, and I started thinking, God, I just like how I'm starting to feel. I didn't sacrifice. Like, well, now it's time to sacrifice. I'm just going to have to not eat ice cream anymore. What ended up happening was that I started feeling better about myself. I started taking care of myself better. I started like giving myself stuff. I was always talking about like, I want to give myself an opportunity today to try not going to McDonald's. I didn't say like, well, I know if I want to keep losing weight, I'm going to have to give up my McDonald's. It's all in how you talk about it. As I was losing weight, I wanted to try salads. I wanted to see if I could be someone that ate salads because I kept thinking I want to be somebody who eats more vegetables because I've never ate many vegetables. And I just figured like people who live a long time probably eat vegetables. I mean, there's gardens for a reason. There's a reason why most of, human society had a farm. They didn't have a McDonald's. They had a farm. My grandmother was one of nine who worked a 100-acre farm. Vegetables are probably good for your ass. And I just kept thinking, like, I want to try eating a salad every day and just see what happens. That did not mean I had to, like, now I got to sacrifice, I need a salad for the rest of my life. No, I tried salads. Guess what? I ended up falling in love with them. And it was such an easy way to get all my vegetables in one meal. So if I don't want to eat another vegetable in another meal, I ain't got to. It's all in how you think about it. And that's what this one goes back to. She's thinking that the only possibility to continue to lose weight is she'll have to at some point sacrifice, rather than thinking there might be a version of me in the future who may not need to eat like this anymore, who may want to eat differently. And I can't wait to meet her. But today, this is great. And I may never want to change. And I bet I can figure that out. It's being open to the possibilities. But what our brains do is they only tell us this one version of the story. The negative version. And guys, we grow up in diet culture. It's normal to think. Diet culture teaches us that we have to sacrifice at some point. You'll see memes and everything. You don't. You get to. You choose to. You try things. I like to think about your future food lifestyle. However your future food lifestyle is going to be in like, you know, in the future. I want you guys to think about it as like we're all going to an amazing shoe department. Like, all right, I'm just going to say, I think the best shoe department in the world is Dillard's. If y'all ain't got a Dillard's, you're missing out on shoe departments, because I walk into Dillard's and I swear to God, the heavens open, the angels sing, and there's trumpets. I love them for the variety at which they serve. We're all going to Dillard's. We have got everything from fancy Skechers to my favorite Hoochie heels. I got a lot of them Jessica Simpson platforms all the time. I got several pairs. Well, our future lifestyle is that. It's everything. And we get to go in and we get to look at what we like and what we think will fit us. And we get to try on. And some stuff is going to be like walking on the clouds. And some stuff is going to be like, I don't care how pretty you are, you suck on my feet. And we'll just keep going back to the shoe store every 3 or 4 months. And guess what? Your tastes might change over time. The shoes that I loved at 18 are not the same shoes that I love at 46. And I guarantee you, right now, I love me some platforms and really high heels. If you ever see me, you know I love those. But when I'm like 70, if my feet aren't in top-notch condition, you might see Corinne in kitten heels. Because my taste will change. It's the same with food. Y'all just make it sound like it's not. It's literally the same. You don't know who you're going to be in the future. You don't know how good you're going to feel. You don't know what emotional weight you're going to unload. You don't know what emotional ties and comforts to food you have now that one day, as I keep teaching you to unwind your thinking around your life, you might be able to just release and not need anymore. So don't think of it as there's going to be all these sacrifices. There's going to be a lot of opportunity in the future to figure out the food lifestyle you want, and you get to make every one of them. I've realized one thing causing me a lot of struggle with self-love is my negative spouse. This one was a long one. I know the general concept that you can only control what you do versus what anyone else does. Yeah, we can't control how someone else's actions are. We can't control anybody else's thinking either, guys. And you can't control someone else's feelings. Here's what we know. How many times have you been, you've lost weight? Almost all of us have lost weight at some point. And someone comes up and says, oh my God, you look amazing. And on the inside, you go, yeah, but I got still more weight to lose. That's how somebody else can't control your thinking and feeling. Just like you can't do it for anybody else. It does not literally matter what you say. Somebody else always has freedom of thought to choose what they're going to think, feel, and do. Now, this is not to say that a lot of us, like, you can't plant the seeds of love and hope they water them. It's much easier for somebody to have luscious thoughts about you if you're not walking up going like, bitch, every 5 seconds. But we do not control the thoughts, the feelings, and the actions of someone else. This is important. Because they also don't control the thoughts and the feelings and the actions of you. You always do. It's always your thinking, no matter what someone says. So let me finish this one and I'll tell you where I'm going with that. This is a real clear distinction. I've realized that my husband can be incredibly negative toward me. So the first thing that I would start doing, call or use, is rather than saying my husband is negative towards me, start changing how you describe it as my husband says words. And when I take them inside, my brain turns them into a negative. The reason why we want to start with that is so that you start taking ownership off of, or you start thinking in a different way. Basically, you take ownership that he says words, I may choose to take them negatively, but that will always be my choice. This is important because we're probably never going to be able to change a negative spouse, right? That's the hardest way to go in life, is to continually try to get somebody else to act and say things in a way that you like 100% of the time. The best work is to get to where 100% of the time, when you hear stuff from someone else, that you internalize it in a way that doesn't erode your own self-worth. That's the goal. So we want to be telling ourselves, he says things, and when I hear them, I internalize them negatively. And I'm working on being able to hear these same things and internalizing them in a way where I have ultimate compassion for myself, where I double down on loving me, where I stop trying to find love for myself in someone else before I'm willing to make sure I'm doing the job for me first. That's always the most powerful position for you. And my job is not to teach you how to do anything other than to be your own best self-advocate, to be your own person who owns all of her thinking and is so strong and powerful in her own right that she stops waiting on other people to take care of her emotions for her. Because when you do that, it's awesome when people say nice things to you because you actually will believe them. But I bet if tomorrow I went to your husband and I said, hey, man, I'm going to give you $1 million, like for the next 2 weeks, I just want you to tell her all nice things. Here's what your brain will do. Yeah, well, I wonder how long he's going to do that. I mean, that's nice to hear, but he's pretty much a dick most of the time. That's how we know his nice words aren't going to work. Your brain is not going to flip on a dime and be like, awesome, problem solved. Never have to worry about this again. And the nice thing is if you can do it around a spouse, then rando at the grocery store who walks by and says some asshole comment like, you're taking up too much space, they don't bother you either anymore. You get the skill and it works everywhere. So let's finish up. He is not an encouraging husband. He puts everything down, even in subtle ways, and he doesn't realize it. So that's one of the things that you have to let go of. It's like, yeah, he puts things down. He's negative. I know these things about him. And he doesn't realize it. So nothing else that I can think about my husband is that at least he's not an intentional asshole. So if he's not intentional about it, I for sure can work on myself. I'm just trying to figure out how to not let in his negativity. Like, it only is let in when you are not the gatekeeper of your mind. Now, like, if he says, I look to my husband for love and support, and when he says, well, that's stupid, referring to something I've made or done, it does hurt. It's fine for it to hurt, but I want you to understand why it hurts. I want you to tell yourself, the reason why it hurts is not because of what he said. It's because I keep wanting him to be someone he's not. And when he shows me who he is, that is hurts. Because I keep wanting him to be someone he's not. Not because he does these things. You know, at the end of the day, we're all married to someone. And if you love them, that means if you truly love someone and you're going to stay with them, you have to love all of them. Even the ugly parts. We don't get to pick and choose, or we stay in emotional hell all the time. Now, you can like ask to be talked to in certain ways, and you can ask for, you know, whatever you want. But if you really love someone, you don't love them conditionally. You like, if you really want to feel loved by somebody and that is not their way, but you do want to make it work, It's up to you to first love yourself enough to do your own self work, to be your own encourager and your own supporter. Now, the only people who are actively looking for outside support and encouragement, who feel desperate for it, are the ones that don't have it to begin with inside. So rather than going outside all the time, let's go inside. The other thing is, then you have to start looking at other ways he may be intentionally loving you. It's just not your language. It's just not your way. It's just like Chris and I have very different love languages. He does not love me the way that I wish he would. Like, if I could have my way, you know, we'd be spending all of our time together. Chris is not a quality time person. I could be up his butt 24/7. If I could, I'd be like, just sitting here with your laptop. Watch me work all day. And he wants to be in his office 12 hours a day, undisturbed. I had to start not telling myself the lie, he doesn't want to be with me. It's the most painful thought that I had. And it's easy to think he doesn't want to be with me, but it feels like shit. So I don't want the easy thought. You know what I want? I want the hard thought. The hard thought is, he loves me and I can appreciate that he doesn't have to be here for me to feel it. That just requires me thinking loving thoughts. That's the hard way. But guess what? At the end of the day, I feel loved. I get what I want. And I'm just willing to do it. All right, let's see if there's anything else. In the moments when hurtful things come my way, just remind yourself to quit thinking hurtful things are coming my way. Just take it down a notch and say, he's going to say things that sometimes my brain wants to think is hurtful. Is there anything else going on here? Could he mean this? Am I just not doing my own self-work? So the littlest things, are there little things he says that I read too much into it? Because I'm in such a fragile place right now with myself. A lot of times what I also notice is that people who get hurt by other words all the time, who are very sensitive to them, it's because they're not working on themselves near enough. So every little thing someone says or does, like, it's like dying by a thousand cuts. It's the most painful death ever. And so it's really looking at, what are the things that right now I think are hurtful? Do they need to be hurtful? Are they that important? Could I be overreacting? And that gives you an opportunity to clean up like the bullshit eating. That's like the bullshit eating in our life. Like, just grab ass in the chicken nugget because it's half eaten and on the plate and somebody left it behind. Sometimes, like, we just read into something. Like, if Chris comes downstairs, I will tell you, this happens frequently, and I always have to remind myself, this is not a problem, Corinne. He'll come downstairs. I haven't even seen him today. And it's 10 o'clock in the morning. We live together. I haven't seen him. And he'll come downstairs, and he'll go outside to check the front porch for packages. And my door is, like, literally right here with glass. He won't wave. He won't say hello. He won't do anything. And every now and then I'll sit there and think, he is so self-absorbed. Like, if he loved me, he'd at least say good morning sometimes. Like, those are the little, like, shitties that come up. And then I can get caught up in feeling bad. And then all day long, I'm just looking for ways to be pissed off at him on how, you know, this marriage isn't working or whatever. I have to remind myself in those moments, he just checked for packages. If you want to say good morning, get your ass up and go say good morning. So some of us can just do some self-reflection to clean up little things like that. And that's all. That's also super helpful. Okay. I think that's it for the day. That is it for the day. All right. Oh, yeah. We have a meeting starting at 10. So that was 1 hour. An hour of power, y'all. Y'all have a good one. I'll talk to you soon. Don't forget Thursday or Friday morning, 7:30 a.m., I will be on the Clubhouse app. So if you're on the Clubhouse app, look for me I am, if one of the team members will put my thing in there, I think I'm at Corinne Crabtree, C-O-R-I-N-N-E Crabtree. No spaces, no underscores. If you guys make sure you're following me on the Clubhouse app, and then join me over there if you're going to want to possibly be called on, or if you just want to listen in, that'd be awesome. If you're not on Clubhouse, guess what? I will be here on Facebook for you so that you can listen in on our Clubhouse conversation. Okay, guys. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.